Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com. And thanks for joining us for Digital Marketplace here on WMR.FM, which is being presented by The Buzz CRM. You can stop juggling multiple marketing tools and ditch those expensive subscriptions. We here at WMR.FM, we're going to get a chance to go ahead and work with this wonderful piece of software and all-in-one solution with 500 tools to manage every aspect of your marketing opportunities, all that you have out there that you're trying to do to go ahead and expand your presence. So effortless automation, AI, handling your emails, social media, and even customer inquiries 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with a chatbot widget, personalized workflows, omni-channel reach, data-driven decisions, and you'll never miss a lead because we also have the unique missed call text back feature. Whether you're a med spa, e-commerce store, it doesn't really matter what kind of a business you are. You need marketing help. You need the extra bodies. You need the extra resources. Come to the Buzz CRM. Get more bang for your buck and boost your marketing ROI. TheBuzzCRM.com. That's where you find out and learn more. Get yourself a chance to go ahead and get a free trial. Go now to the Buzz CRM today to learn more. So with me right now, we are here in post-show coverage of the Global Exchange Conference, which happened about a week ago or so. And with us right now, I want to go ahead and welcome LitPath is a 501c3 nonprofit organization lighting the path to healing through partial scholarships for psychotherapy with certified professionals. The mission revolves around making mental health therapy more financially accessible for individuals seeking support. Therapists and organizations holding the requisite certifications can participate in their program, enabling them to extend scholarships to their clients. And the scholarship program we're going to talk about in a moment is the largest scholarship program in the world, available for mental health services with any therapist or organization. So a little bit of backstory. If you know as well, for those in Florida, especially in South Florida where I live, we have a significant recovery community here. So many convalescent units, so many sober living units here. As so many that come here, you know, it's also the same thing where the idea is that, you know, you come for the sunshine, you come for a fresh start. Something about where everybody comes from and who comes here, and knowing that from an individual standpoint, various levels of trauma, various levels of addiction, all the things that come across of a person's life that brought them to this point, and somebody wants to be out there to go ahead and look after them and give them a chance to have another lease on life. So for both of you, talk to me about building this organization and offering this opportunity, and how different would it be from some of the other conventional addiction treatment outlets that are out there?
Well, this organization came from our own story. I'm a recovering addict myself, and we actually lived a good chunk of time in Orlando, Florida. So we know there is a strong recovery community there, especially in the 12-step movement. Where we live right now in Greenville, South Carolina, there isn't much. But our story is kind of derived out of, I had a life of abuse from a very young age. Things happened to me that should not have happened. From there, it established a unhealthy feeling towards things of a sexual nature. So sex, pornography. I had no idea how a healthy intimacy dynamic would look. And as through my life, I basically fell into like seeing sex as not really anything to do with love. It was completely disassociated from that. There were many times where I felt when I was getting older through university and older, realized that something wasn't quite right. But I got married in 2006. We've been married now for 19, 18 and a half, 19, many years.
It's the math.
Yeah.
So you both met each other. Was this, this is after you were coming out of addiction while you were around?
Yeah. So we met actually in University of Glamorgan in South Wales. It's now part of Cardiff University. He came over on an exchange program. We met and in 2000, 2003, 2006, we got married. And it was a couple of years later when the addiction first became known, as in it was addressed And we thought that maybe the marriage would be over at that point.
So for how long a period of time was there that strain that you had until there was a decision made, both of you collectively, that we had to figure out something that we can do? Because, you know, at that time spent, you the investment, you didn't want to be pulled apart.
Yeah.
You wanted to find a way to go ahead and restore.
So I think, you know, there's really two things that happen that we got to think about in a story. And our story is not completely unsimilar from pretty much anybody else who falls into these categories. But essentially, you know, the first time we found out about this, right, we got some treatment, some help, but maybe Ian wasn't really quite ready.
No, I wasn't.
Do the work.
No, the work was I'm trying to save my marriage because I got caught. And the biggest thing for me now is to make sure that my wife is happy and that she feels comfortable, but it wasn't focused on my addiction. So I went to 12-step. I went to SA. That was very available in St. Louis, Missouri at the time. And things were fine, but I wasn't really working the program for me. And as time went on, my addiction continued to grow. It wasn't until 2014, at this point, I had stopped going to a recovery. We moved to Orlando at this point. And Tamara found out about an affair that I was having while she was actually in India. So she was on the other side of the planet when she got the news. And at this point, once we spoke and she acknowledged that she knew, I realized that my marriage was over. So I am that common denominator in all the issues and trauma that is being created because of me. So I went to recovery at this point for my care, for my growth and healing.
But now the one thing most importantly was that there were decisions that you made that strained the marriage. And, you know, that if you were more a sound mind and you were not in the throes of addiction, you wouldn't have made those decisions. You obviously there's a regret and that's totally, you know, that's justified. But it would be one thing that you know that if you were not consumed with whatever was, you know, bringing you down, that would have been a different story. That maybe there was things. But the strength of your marriage, strong, resilient. And that's one thing I got to ask about as well, because when I look at, and I'll say I've had friends and I have dated some women that have been in sober living, in the middle of sober living, and I didn't know they were, but I also got, there was one I was with for 3 months, and, you know, for me to go to understand what she was going through on a weekly basis, she even had me to go and sit in on a step study, even though I wasn't part of that group. She wanted me to go and sit in and see with the men what they were going through and what their issues were on a regular basis. And knowing that some of them that were in there, I don't think there was going to be a chance for them to really have somebody that was going to be significantly a normal life again, or trying to get back to some level of normalcy. For those that come in, it's a younger, it's very, I always see like a younger demographic that goes in.
Yeah.
So for them to come in, say for LitPath, if they want to have a chance to have, if they want to have a conventional family, they want to have marriage, they want to have children, they want to have a great career, whatever their life is going to be, to get them back to a point where they're not feeling like they're victimized and they don't feel like they're sorry constantly and feeling guilt for what they went through and trying to ask for penance. What do you do to help those folks out to try to get them to where they can find kind of, you know, if they can reset themselves again?
So, I mean, I think whether it's sex addiction or, I mean, any other, I mean, any type of addiction,
yeah.
In really almost, I mean, it's even work addiction or technology or, you know, gambling, right? There's so many different types of addiction, but relapse is part of that story,
yeah.
Right? And I think that, you know, the general public sort of carries this belief that, well, if, you know, somebody wants to stop and they make the choice to stop, then they're just, you know, then it'll just happen. They'll just stop.
But there's people that always have that fear of relapse anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's a trust factor that's always kind of put in as a stigma for those looking from the outside in and not realizing where you came from, what you went through, and saying, well, we're not, you know, you've done this before. You've been,
yeah.
You know, we've fallen off the handle before. We can happen, see it happen again.
Yeah. And I think, it, you know, professionals in the field will tell you relapse is part of the journey. And, you know, it's small steps forward, right? That, you know, nobody's going to quit and it's just, that's it. That's the end. Now, you hope that as you move forward, you know, your relapses aren't as bad, or that things, you know, slowly get better and you get to a point where you can manage without relapsing. And it does occur at some point, right, as you're committed and working through your addiction. And so what we did was, you know, through our story and the work that, you know, Ian was doing and I was doing, you know, we were doing okay at the time. I mean, we had, you know, jobs and were making, you know, an okay amount of money, but we still couldn't afford treatment, right? Because you're talking $150 a session, you know, once a week, that's $600 a month just for one of us, right? So if both of us are going to go to see a therapist, now you're talking $1,200 a month. And, you know, oftentimes therapists don't accept insurance, or there's high copays on insurance, or there's no mental health care on people's insurance, right? And so, you know, we went into debt in order to pay for recovery. We made a choice that it was something we were going to have to do. And, you know, with so many things, when you actually start working on it, your life gets better, right? And so, you know, as we both were in treatment and started down the recovery path, we became better in our careers and, you know, did get a little bit better. We're not rich by any means, nor do we have a lot of money, especially now, because I took a severance at my last company. Oh, man. In order to work full time for our organization for free, so that we could, you know, help grow our mission because we believe in it so much. But essentially what we did at the time was we don't want people to have to go through what we went through. We don't want people to have to go into debt just to try to get better. And so we founded Lit Path. And initially Lit Path, our program is a scholarship program. We raise money for scholarships for people to get mental health care treatment with, initially it was for addiction only. And we've recently, actually, our board had voted to open up our scholarship program for all mental health care. And so what we do now is we offer a scholarship program for any organization, for any mental health care provider, whether you're doing inpatient treatment or intensives or, you know, regular outpatient, you know, therapy appointments, group therapy, our organization manages and provides scholarships for everyone to participate. So essentially, as a 501c3, we raise money for that and support everybody being able to get mental health therapy.
So I want to ask you now about the patients you had on board, those that you've been able to get support.
Yeah.
First of all, it's wonderful that you were so generous to yourself to the point that you were stretching yourselves out pretty thin financially to be able to go ahead and continue to support this cause. Mm-hmm. Now, what can you tell me about, without going into the detail, obviously, confidentially, you know, whoever you're working with right now that's going through the program, getting those scholarships, being able to go ahead and seek treatment. What can you tell me about the people that have come into the fold right now? And, you know, are there any testimonials that you've been able to go ahead and put front? Because that's the one thing I was wondering, is that if there's something about having those that can explain what Lit Path has done for them, helping them find the resources to get the help. And if there's something that you ever thought about when it comes to being able to share the story of someone that is in seeking treatment right now, if you were to tell individual stories of that person without disclosing who they are, their identity, but telling them this person went through this. It's like, you know, I don't want to put it like this, but it's the only comparison I can think of is like when you think about starving children, you're supporting this one person and you're saying they went through this, they went through, if it was a young woman that went through rape, that went through incest, that went through various torturous trauma, and it's just, you know, it might be a single mother, whatever it could be. If their story gets told as they're looking for treatment, if that helps to position LitPath to be able to get, find more resources for them. Is that something you look at all?
Yeah. So essentially, everyone who comes into our program, we require really two things of individuals who apply to participate in our scholarship program or to receive a scholarship. And one of those is that they have to be committed to their recovery or their healing, right? And they can demonstrate that through recently coming out of an intensive program or an inpatient program, where they can receive a recommendation from their current therapist to show, you know, this person is really engaged and ready to work their program. The other thing is financial need. So as part of the financial need element of that, instead of having a income cap where an individual, you know, has to make less than $35,000 a year or something, we made a decision in the organization to base financial need off of income versus expenses. So we look at the income and all of the essential expenses of the individual, and as long as it's 85% or more of their income is utilized for expenses, then they can participate in our program. And the last thing is they have to be able to pay for their portion of the program. So our scholarship program is a partial scholarship program. It requires some skin in the game, right, from individuals who are participating. So I say all of that in response to your question, because everyone who gets accepted to our scholarship program has a story of what this means to them, right? Like, why is this so important to them?
Right.
And, you know, we have loads of, I mean, I'd say at least 70% of the people who have been accepted into our program and are working are people who have been either physically, sexually, or mentally abused in their lifetime. And that's why they're turning to addictions, you know, to cope as a coping mechanism for the trauma in their lives. We've got a lot of women who are struggling with partner betrayal trauma.
Oh, my God.
And men as well.
Hey, domestic abuse, narcissistic relationship, toxic.
Right? Exactly. I mean, you know, and then what's really heartbreaking is when you look at some of the stories of the people who are struggling with addiction and their reasons for why they want to participate in this, right? So we say, why are you looking, you know, for a scholarship to help you with your recovery path? And, you know, the answers there are just, you know, I want to be a better father. I want to be there for my kids. You know, I want to be a better parent. I want to...
Which entails the fact that being that better parent, having the mental faculty to be stable and to show that role model so that there's not a weakness that you show to your child, especially in their formative years. You don't want to see them when they're starting to become more responsible, know what right from wrong is. They want to be able to see that, you know, that parent is strong, is going to be, you know, especially for a father to the daughter. You want to see that person is going to be protective, loving, and that you know, the healthiness of a good relationship, you know, father, daughter, mother, son, whatever it is to have. One other question I want to ask you, and I want to just directly go to the website real quick for LitPath. Let me go directly to the website real quick. LITPATH.org. LITPATH.org. And the various issues when it comes to drugs and alcohol, family support, food challenges, sex relationships, and other. Now, when it comes to the therapist, because I noticed you have participating therapists that you're also working with. When you evaluate the therapists that are going to work with you on the program. Now, in the same way that yourselves, you're coming into this as compassionate caregivers in a way, because you're trying to offer resources to these people because of your own story, your own personal account. You can relate very well to a lot of people that come into the door. But what about the therapists that you bring on board? Because I've always had a talk on the independent podcast I do. And one of the things I always talk about the fact is, I always ask therapists or people that are working in counseling, mental health counseling, about how important it is. You don't have somebody that might be just college educated that becomes a psychiatrist or a psychologist, that it kind of just follows what, you know, conventional books will say their studies have told them, if you get this diagnosis, then you're going to be treated like this diagnosis. When it comes to having a therapist versus a therapist that can actually also attest to levels of trauma or levels of addiction, and they can understand and relate to them, how important is that? Are there a lot of therapists that you find that you've brought on board that can also give their own account to help relate to the patient?
Well, yeah, absolutely. A lot of the therapists that, especially for those on the addiction side, they are recovering addicts themselves. And so we, one of the things that we ask as well is that for therapists is if they're actually seeing therapy themselves. Like, it is a vital thing that you can't have a therapist that isn't seeking their own, like, their own therapy.
Or at least hasn't at this point in time, right? It's the capability to understand, you know, what your client is going through and what they're dealing with. And also, all of the therapists who participate in our program, we require to be certified.
Yep.
So unlike, you know, Psychology Today is a great organization, but there's a lot of organizations out there. They sort of let every therapist check the box on all the things. I treat all these things. I specialize in all these things.
Every single addiction.
And so, you know, we actually require for all of the therapists that participate in our program and all the practitioners that they provide the information on the certifications they have that qualify them to be specialists. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're actually, you know, checking those credentials as part of the requirement to be able to participate in our program. And so, you know, with that, we ensure, you know, sort of good stewardship for our funds, for our scholarship money, right? We want to make sure that people are getting treatment by true specialists, you know, in the field of whatever it is that they're trying to seek treatment for.
Now, in the program itself for the scholarship, are there any requirements? Because now if there are people that are going through they're going through a treatment program, they're going through 12 steps. Do you need them to specifically be a part of where they have to be continuously, you know, randomly drug tested? Do they still need to go through the proper parameters in order to qualify, in order to maintain the scholarship?
No. So for us as an organization, you know, we look at our nonprofit organization as we're a scholarship provider. Okay. And we really stay at arm's length from the treatment side of stuff, right? We are providing the financial support, and we try to vet people to make sure that at least we're getting scholarships to people who are really ready and have a financial need for it. But the flip side of that is our organization is not a treatment provider organization, right? So because of that, we do not have any stipulations on that. We leave all of that up to the therapist that's, you know, or the provider that's doing the work with them. If that's something that their provider believes is important for their treatment or their success, you know, that's up to them. We were not involved in any of the treatment side of it.
Well, I'm saying if it was something this to go ahead and be able to sustain the scholarship, but that's
exactly.
One of those areas. Yeah, I know you don't want to be, you're not hands-on to the process.
Exactly, yeah. And to sustain the scholarship, I mean, the really only main thing is that they are attending sessions or that they are actually, you know, going to the treatment program, right? So in order to maintain the scholarship or even get another scholarship after they've maybe completed the first, they just have to continue to show their commitment by doing the work of participating in their own recovery program.
Wonderful. LITPATH.org, LITPATH.org. And again, they offer providing financial assistance to those struggling with addiction through scholarships for mental health therapy to support recovery, raising funds for mental health therapy scholarships, and partnering with addiction therapy specialists. So if you know a loved one or you know someone that would really benefit from this and you just happen to catch this program, even if you weren't expecting to go ahead and be on this particular show, then please go ahead and reach out to the folks here, to Ian and Tamara at LITPATH, LITPATH.org. Thank you both for being on and sharing your story. Really do appreciate it. Anything else you want to go mention before we close things out?
The last thing is how to support us, right? And we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are entirely funded by
donations
and sponsors and, you know, people who really just want to help other people get access to mental health treatment. We've got over 30 people on our wait list right now. And so whatever we can do to have people support us by, you know, financially contributing to other people's therapy treatment so that they can get care is super, super important in our being able to function. So we would just ask listeners to really consider whether or not this is something that they could support, and sponsors as well. We try to find organizations in the mental health care industry that, you know, want to give back and help support the work of the therapists that participate in our program, but also just to help others get treatment is super important as well. That's Eddie. What else?
No, that's really it. Obviously, it's for people to go ahead and sign up at the website if they are if they're a therapist who wants to get involved. And obviously, as Tamara mentioned, that there's some financial support if anyone feels the passion behind the mission. If finance isn't something, but they have connections or contacts, reach out to us because we'd love to go ahead and just have a discussion and make that connection.
And another thing that's really important to mention is, again, our program is now open for all mental health care treatment. So it doesn't have to be just recovery related. And we do have what we call a branded scholarship program that we're now providing that allows organizations to, we create a scholarship fund for treatment at that particular place. So individuals, you know, if they want to attend a particular treatment facility or intensive program or see a particular therapist in their area, our program now has scholarship funds that we've created as programs for, you know, each of the different participating organizations who are in our branded scholarship program. So, you know, it really is a game changer in the mental health world as everybody struggles to pay for treatment. And every therapist and every organization out there wants to be able to offer scholarship programs. But since they don't have the 501(c)(3) status, it makes it difficult for them to accept donations. And so what we've done is really made a program that's available for all mental health therapy and all treatment providers to be able to participate in as long as they maintain those certifications that we were talking about and their specialties.
So as you make mention of, there's a big blue donate button right now at LITPATH.org. And there's also pledge amounts. If you want to also go and put a particular amount in for various individual outpatient scholarships, or really a full funded scholarship, if you want to do that as well, you can also make a custom donation. So make sure to go to that donate button, help out. And also, you know, that wait list is important. Let's get the people the help they need. Thank you, Ian and Tamara, for being on with us. Really appreciate you taking
time. Thank you so much for having us all. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com.